Blessed Spirit, the gift of life itself, rest in our hearts now as we offer ourselves to receive your truth. Speak through my words, speak through our reflection, speak through this music. Hold us in prayer. Make us open to you again. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our first reading today is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 53. You will see that it's the first five verses and then verses 10 through 12. Follow along, if you will, in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. Yet it was the will of God, the will of the Lord, to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord, my friends. And the anthem today is actually hymn 250, in case you like to know. Thank you. Our second reading today comes to us from the first letter of John, chapter 3, the first 11 verses. Again, receive the word of God. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He was revealed to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has either seen Him or known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. Everyone who commits sin is a child of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The Son of God was revealed for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born of God do not sin because God's seed abides in them. They cannot sin because they have been born of God. The children of God and the children of the devil are revealed in this way. All who do not do what is right are not from God, nor are those who do not love their brothers and sisters. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Believe it or not, this sermon is not a tribute to that significant person in your life who is always right. You know, that person who knows best and is always right and has no problem informing you of their rightness. Of course, they think they're doing you a favor by making you more right, too. For some, that's a parent or a sibling, maybe a friend or a coworker, maybe an associate pastor. I was once told that every teenage daughter has the gift of always being right. Then I lived it. For some people, this is the spouse who keeps everyone else informed. But really, when you get down to it, there's only one person who can make us right. And that's the person I want to talk about today. Mr. Goat. Yes, I said Mr. Goat. Bah. You may have expected me to say someone else. That's okay, I'll get back to that in a minute. Mr. Goat is the one who can help us get right. Specifically, I'm thinking of the idea of the scapegoat. We all have at some point in our lives, I'm sure, used the word scapegoat for that someone who is given the blame for something for others. We think of the scapegoat in a situation as someone who's not actually guilty, but will take the fall anyway to save other people from facing the burden of their guilt. The classic scapegoat for children is that dog who ate their homework. You know, if you're guilty of not doing the work, you blame the dog, even if you don't have one, I guess. Nowadays, though, with so much being done on computers, I guess the dog needs a tougher stomach, or kids start blaming computer viruses or something for eating their homework. That notion of scapegoat goes way back, maybe to 2500 BCE. The Jewish people took up that ritual later and laid out in Leviticus 16, and they practiced it thereafter. When people need to have their guilt removed from them as a people, the priest takes two goats. One is sacrificed on the altar to God, and the other has the sins of the people placed on it. Okay? And that goat is sent out into the wilderness bearing their sins, so to speak. That goat is literally the scapegoat, which is where this word comes from, and it's never seen again. And this gives us the Jewish holiday associated with this practice, the day of Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, the Day of Atonement. Giving your guilt away and becoming right by God is foundationally vital to being able to be whole as a person and as people. Being able to put your sin aside makes us right or whole. And that seems to be the job of that goat in Jewish practice. Doesn't really seem very fair to the goat, though. This practice is not very practical, nor is it very enduring or very relatable, especially as I don't know anybody who even owns a goat today, let alone one that we could send off in the wilderness to get eaten. What if the goat had a choice? It's remarkable how God seems to use things and infuse them with new meaning. Isaiah paints this seemingly troubled and dramatic picture of a poor soul who just does not seem to be any kind of contender for the most lucky list. He's basically unattractive, without any stature, full of sorrows, sick, and seemingly cursed by God. And as if that's not enough, the final blow is that poor and despised figure is laden with all of our sinfulness. This suffering servant is horribly beset by the transgressions and evils and sins of us all. That sounds like the most pitiable scapegoat the world has ever seen. Of course, there's a point. You've probably already guessed that we identify that person with someone who has lived and died and rose again for us hundreds of years after Isaiah. The clear reason for it all was that this was God's design for our security and safety and welfare and wholeness. God wanted us to be made right in Jesus. Out of love for God and love for us, the suffering one took our brokenness and healed our ties to God. And he opened the way for our healing here. See, that's the thing about what Jesus did. It's so tempting to believe that everything was fixed that first morning of the resurrection 2,000 years ago, and as if Jesus came back and the world was restored and everything was made right. After all, Jesus' resurrection was the greatest gift the world has ever received. It did change the whole world, and it gave us a life greater than death. But death is still far too ominous. Since the mass shooting in Atlanta recently, last month, there have been 45 mass shootings in America. As I was listening to an Axios news story about this, I couldn't believe my ears. I had to skip back and listen to that again. Is that true? Is that really what they said? Yes. That's what I heard. A mass shooting is also when four or more people are shot. It literally happens all the time in our nation. Somewhere between Jesus taking the hurt of this world, all of it, past, present, and future, somewhere between taking all of that hurt and making us right in love, and the fact that there's still so much wrong with this world, is where we need to go as people in faith. That's where this journey in faith needs to go. The rightness of what Jesus gives us has to mean something more than things are okay between us and God. The rightness Jesus suffered everything to give us has to be worth more than a free ticket to heaven. But where do we see that? I think one place we begin to see it is in our children, among other places. The other evening, one of my children pulled a pretty major surprise with bringing home a puppy that she rescued from the woods. I couldn't help but reflect on the fact that she didn't call first to check on the wisdom of such a decision, i.e., she didn't ask. In fact, we got a text that said, "I'm bringing something home that you're not gonna like, but I have to have it." She just showed up with this adorable, sweet bundle of puppy love and her promises to be the complete responsible caregiver. I know better than that. You know better than that. But why do we tend to view the actions of our children in a different light? I couldn't be angry with her, really. What is it about that relationship that makes us more willing to work with them in their struggles? If we look back at John's letter that I just read, you heard something else going on. Because of God's love for us, we have also been named children of God. We have been given the rightness of Christ Jesus. We have been made whole in God's love and restored in the mercy of God. But we have also been given a home and a family. All of us. You heard then how the key to living becomes the practicing of the good stuff. We need to practice what Jesus has given us because we are children of God. We have the opportunity and joy of representing our Heavenly Father. Why should we embrace this opportunity? Because Jesus has made us the right people for it. Our world is crying out for some sign of what is right. People look to all kinds of answers to what is wrong in the world. We try to eat the right foods, do the right activities, legislate the right laws, associate with the right people, look the right way, say the right things, maybe buy the right stuff or believe the right things. Whatever we think is the answer to help us feel better about living in a broken and sinful world. It's like trying to build a wall with bubbles, though. Because the answer, all along, has been something given to us. It's all about the heart. Your heart already has been made right by God's love, in God's love. If you realize you are a child of God, those who understand what Jesus has done and what Jesus gives have no desire to spread pain, suffering, or brokenness. Those who know the rightness of Jesus have no love of spreading sin. Sure, we still struggle with sin. But sin is not our joy. Our joy is in the life of love that we have been given in Christ Jesus. Our joy is in the blessings we all see around us when we open our hearts. Our joy is in the gift of being made perfectly right in the grace of God through the love of our Savior. That is a gift that lives and grows with us. That is a gift that is always better shared. That is a gift that never lords over another or tries to impress. This is a gift that does what is right because it is what is right. It always comes from the heart of God. To God be the glory. Amen. In response to the gift of